This is Jim Inkster. Pleased to have you with us for Talk Louisiana. Hope you're having a stellar day in uncertain times. First Financial Tax and Accounting Services provides signature support for our program. And if you'd like to chime in today, 877-217-5757 is your Talk Louisiana number. Our email, talk@talklouisiana.org. We start with political scientist Albert Samuels of Southern University, who's worn many hats at the great university on the Bluff. He's also, in addition to having been longtime chair of the Department of Political Science, he is the head of the Faculty Senate at Southern University. And today is a huge day in America for a civil rights icon like few others. John Robert Lewis died July 17th. In Atlanta, the district he represented for 34 years almost, is paying tribute to him. Ebenezer Baptist Church, the legendary church, is where his funeral services are being held today. And President Obama will deliver the eulogy, also expected to speak. Former Presidents George Walker Bush and William Jefferson Clinton. Today in the New York Times, at the request of John Lewis, an op-ed piece is appearing, written by him, and he says, "While my time here has now come to an end, I want you to know that in the last days and hours of my life, you inspired me. You filled me with hope about the next chapter of the great American story when you used your power to make a difference in our society. Millions of people, motivated simply by human compassion, laid down the burdens of division around the country and the world. You set aside race, class, age, language, and nationality to demand respect for human dignity. That's why I had to visit Black Lives Matter Plaza in Washington, though I was admitted to the hospital the following day. I just had to see and feel it for myself that after many years of silent witness, the truth is still marching on." He goes on to say that Emmett Till was his George Floyd. Emmett Till was 14 when he was killed, and Lewis notes that at the time he was 15 years old. He says, "I'll never forget the moment when it became so clear that he easily could have been me." And John Lewis closes with this: "When historians pick up their pens to write the story of the 21st century, let them say that it was your generation who laid down the heavy burdens of hate at last, and that peace finally triumphed over violence, aggression, and war. So I say to you, walk with the wind, brothers and sisters, and let the spirit of peace and the power of everlasting love be your guide." John Robert Lewis, 1940 to 2020. Albert Samuels, he was quite a man.
Yes, he was. And I think it's a testament to the person that he was, that when you saw his colleagues a few days ago in Congress as his body was lying in state, well, you know, these days Republicans and Democrats agree on a few things, but the Congress just stopped, and just the reverence that people had for him on both sides of the aisle, and we're seeing the evidence of that too. And President Obama, you know, is going to speak. You know, President Bush, President Clinton. Yeah, you know, there's a real sense that this is like the end of an era. That we really lost one of the links to the civil rights movement. The youngest speaker from the 1963 March on Washington, you know, so there's a real sense of a kind of a passing of the torch with his passing.
A listener notes that Jimmy Carter has not been listed as an attendee at the service today, and I don't think that's any snub on the part of Jimmy Carter, who lives near Atlanta, as we know, in Plains, but he is, after all, 95 years old. He's got brain cancer and several other maladies, and he would be extremely jeopardized if he were to get COVID-19. So I think that's probably the reason why President Carter is not likely to attend, but you never know. He is a guy who might just show up, but I don't think that's any snub to John Lewis. 877-217-5757 is your number. Talk at talklouisiana.org is our email. And we will cover some ground with Albert Samuels, and in a bit we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate, as is our Thursday tradition. Today, the president, as he often does, defining the news cycle and basically taking the thunder away from the funeral of John Lewis, writes on Twitter, "With universal mail-in voting, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote, question mark, question mark, question mark." That from Donald J. Trump, the leader of the free world. Now, John Lewis, of course, almost gave his life. He was severely injured fighting for voting rights for Americans. What about the president saying we ought to delay the November 3rd election, now 96 days from the finish line? Dr. Samuels?
Well, it was actually bound to happen. You know, let's keep in mind that the president, he was a candidate in 2016, was actually sowing distrust of the results. And he started right around August, suggesting the election might be rigged. So, during one of the debates, the question was actually asked about, you know, would he be willing to accept the results no matter what they were? And he said, and he literally said, "If I win, I win." And even after he won the election, he still said that he would have won the popular vote had it not been for 3 million people who voted illegally. So this is part of a pattern of the president that's been deeply unsettling, of sowing division and sowing doubt in the integrity of our election process.
He also tweeted, "Mail-in voting is already proving to be a catastrophic disaster. Even testing areas are way off. The Dems talk of foreign influence in voting, but they know that mail-in voting is an easy way for foreign countries to enter the race. Even beyond that, there's no accurate count." That from the President of the United States talking about foreign entities, and we know definitively that Russia and his good friend Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin interfered in the 2016 election, and the president's had 8 chances, according to reports, in conversations with Vladimir Putin to ask him about bounties on Americans that Putin paid for to have Americans killed in Afghanistan, and yet the president has not done this. And here he is talking about foreign influence in elections. Is that the pot calling the kettle black, Dr. Samuels?
Well, I think it certainly is. And in addition to everything that you just said, the president himself voted by mail few months ago in the Florida primary, but he doesn't want you to be able to vote by mail. And we're also getting reports that the Postmaster General, who's now in charge, is taking actions, seemingly, and people are starting to experience this, to deliberately slow down the mail. So people should not underestimate what this president is willing to do. I mean, he's actively using the power of the United States government to interfere with the 2020 election.
He tweets, he's been a busy man this morning. Kate Brown, governor of Oregon, isn't doing her job. She must clear out, and in some cases arrest, the anarchists and agitators in Portland. If she can't do it, the federal government will do it for her. We will not be leaving until there is safety. That from the President of the United States. And this appears to be a strategy in which he will claim unrest in the major cities, which largely are not supportive of him. For example, in Louisiana, all the major cities, with the exception of Lafayette, went for Hillary Rodham Clinton in 2016, yet Trump won by 24 points because he just resoundingly carried rural areas like Livingston Parish, 85%. He seems to be turning this into a rural versus urban contest. And at the same time, Dr. Samuels, Some would say that beneath that, there's a dog whistle there because we know the major cities in this country proportionately have more African-American citizens.
You know, I'm not so sure it's a dog whistle anymore. It may be a bullhorn now. I think that the president appears to have only one card to play. He had intended to run for re-election in part on the strong economy, and that's gone now. And so now he's going back to race.
877-217-5757 and talk at talklouisiana.org for Southern University political scientist Dr. Albert Samuels, also head of the Faculty Senate at the great university in Baton Rouge. We'll return after this 90-second pause with more Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for joining us. Matt Doyle is producing. You're listening to Talk Louisiana, and your number is 877-217-5757. And the story that is dominating the headlines at the moment is not the funeral of John Robert Lewis, the great American being paid tribute today appropriately in Atlanta, but Trump floats delaying election despite lack of authority to do so. This from CNN. President Donald Trump explicitly floated delaying November's presidential election on Thursday, lending extraordinary voice to persistent concerns that he would seek to circumvent voting in a contest where he currently trails his opponent by double digits. Trump has no authority to delay an election, and the Constitution gives Congress the power to set the date for voting. But in his tweet, 96 days before the election, minutes after the federal government reported the worst economic contraction in recent history, the president offered the suggestion because he claimed without evidence the contest will be flawed. 877-217-5757. Albert Samuels with us for a bit longer. Here's Dan downtown. Dan, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana.
Yes, Dr. Samuels. Is there a concern that if Trump attempts to postpone the November election, it could culminate in a 5-4 Supreme Court decision a la Bush v. Gore?
Thank you, Dan. The Supreme Court basically settled a presidential election in 2000 by one vote. Albert Gore would have probably won the election if the Supreme Court had not intervened and stopped the recount in Florida. What about this year? Are we headed for deja vu all over again?
I think that is something actually to be concerned about. Of course, from the Democratic standpoint, this is actually a motivation for some Democrats to tell people that they need to get out and vote and vote and vote, and to with the hope that if they beat Donald Trump by a sufficient margin, that they will take it off the table. But certainly with some of the statements that he's made, we can't just simply assume that Donald Trump will just concede the election, because he has so far broken every Democratic norm that we've taken for granted.
All right. 877-217-5757. Jay in Mid-City. Jay, you're on the air with Albert Samuels. Hi, Jay.
Hi. Speaking of the rioting going on in the major cities, those two cities, Seattle and Portland, are predominantly white cities with a population of probably 1% black or 2%, mostly African immigrant.
Yeah, a little higher than that, but yes, overwhelmingly white, unlike other cities. But you make a good point. Please continue, Jay.
And on with the Trump not conceding with the election, well, we saw that happen. It was Hillary Clinton base with protesting the election after Trump won with taking the streets. And President Trump just playing the game and people following along what he's doing. And I don't see the contest being closed when they get the debate with Joe Biden. Is really dementia, and he's not the same man. I mean, he's never done an interview 5 minutes over. They're always cutting him short. So do a press interview like Chris Wallace did with Trump 2 weeks ago, about 30 minutes. Joe Biden have yet to do that.
All right. Well, I think those claims are unsubstantiated, but Biden will be 78 years old if he is the new president in January of 2021. Dr. Samuels, I'm sure we're going to hear more and more of this, and Biden, of course, can do something about it, but There's going to be whispering and in some places yelling that he's mentally not all there. And as I stated, I don't know that this has been substantiated. He is an older man. He sometimes misspeaks, but politicians much younger than he have done that, including the President of the United States. What do you think?
We know Biden misspeaks. That's part of the, you know, that there are these Bidenisms that go back. Biden misspoke when he was 50, when he was 40. There's no evidence that Joe Biden has any cognitive decline, and it's really sort of, like, once again, the pot calling the kettle black. You know, we just had a president bragging about taking a cognitive test in which he was able to recognize, you know, elephants as a sign that he's all there. And so this is really sort of silly.
All right. Trish in Grand Coteau. Trish, good morning. You're on Talk Louisiana with
good
Dr.
morning,
Samuels.
Good morning. It seems to me that the president's constitutional duty is to facilitate the election and not hinder it, which would mean funding the post office, which was founded as a service to the American people. It serves all the American people. So if you think something's wrong with the post office, Mr. President, why don't you fix it? And if you think that something is wrong with the mail-in election process, why don't you fix it?
All right. Thank you, Trish. Good remarks. James in Metairie. James, you're on the air with Dr. Samuels. Hi, James.
Hey, good morning, Jim, and to your guest. The dictionary tells us that the definition of a demagogue is a leader who makes use of popular prejudices and false claims to gain power. This morning, Donald Trump, this is pure demagoguery, talking about how radical Democrats are sick, they don't love our country, there's no respect for the American way of life, that only he and his people love the flag and our anthem. And then he talks about this election fraud, most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history, if we have all these mail-in ballots. He is the demagogue in chief.
All right. What about the remarks from Trish and James? Your thoughts, Dr. Samuels?
Well, there's a lot there, and I think there's you could make the case very easily that, you know, the president has appealed to demagoguery. You know, he continues to spout out ideas that are simply not proven, and statements are deliberately false. And I think that case is pretty well made.
Thank you, James. Tim and Thibodeau. Hi, Tim. Tim, you're on the air. Please turn down your radio.
Thank you. Isn't Biden's misspeaking partially the product of being a stutterer? Pretty well known that he is corrected.
All right. He was and occasionally still does stutter a bit, but and he's had a brain aneurysm. And as you've stated, he's been known to misspeak for many, many years and once got caught plagiarizing. But that is not dementia, Dr. Samuels.
No, it's not. And that's someone who also stutters. I understand, and I understand some of the strategies sometimes people engage in, you know, to try to avoid difficult words or letters that hang you up. And so I can understand some of Biden's misspeaking, or sometimes his speech is halting or what have you as a result of that problem that he still lives with. It's kind of thing that usually people don't ever really get over it.
Right now, the death count in the United States for COVID-19 is 153,898. In Louisiana, almost 4,000 of our citizens have died, and the number of African Americans who are dying is disproportionately higher in a huge way. And Dr. Samuels, this is a story that has been reported, but not as much as it should be. What do you make of this, the fact that people who are black in this country, if they get coronavirus, they're significantly more likely to die?
Well, this is actually, unfortunately, something that we should not be surprised by, because prior to COVID-19, you know, there were already significant health disparities existing between African Americans and white Americans. There were a high propensity for obesity, hypertension, heart disease, diabetes, and some other maladies. And so, and then African Americans were likely to be poor, lack health insurance, and not have their own primary care physician. And then and all those problems are compounded by the effects of segregation and segregation and some other things. So you have these disparities that pre-existed. And so, unfortunately, COVID-19 is like a perfect storm.
Dr. Samuels, thank you so much. We'll be calling again soon. After the news, we'll hear from Mark Ballard of The Advocate.